From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning comes from Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. A convoy, on many accounts, would have been desirable for the pilgrim band, but a holy shamefacedness would not allow Ezra to seek one. He feared lest the heathen king should seek his professions of faith in God to be mere hypocrisy, or imagine that the God of Israel was not able to preserve his own worshippers. He could not bring his mind to lean on an arm of flesh in a matter so evidently of the Lord. And therefore the caravan set out with no visible protection, guarded by him who is the sword and shield of his people. It is to be feared that few believers feel this holy jealousy for God. Even those who in a measure walk by faith occasionally mar the luster of their life by craving aid from man. It is a most blessed thing to have no props and no buttresses, but to stand upright on the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Would any believers seek state endowments for their church if they remembered that the Lord is dishonored by their asking Caesar's aid? As if the Lord could not supply the needs of his own cause. Should we run so hastily to friends and relations for assistance if we remembered that the Lord is magnified by our implicit reliance upon his solitary arm? My soul, wait thou only upon God. But, says one, are not means to be used? Assuredly they are. But our fault seldom lies in their neglect. Far more frequently, it springs out of foolishly believing in them instead of believing in God. Few run too far in neglecting the creature's arm, but very many sin greatly in making too much of it. Learn, beloved, to glorify the Lord by leaving means untried, if by using them thou wouldst dishonor the name of the Lord.
Oh,
18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message called Saluting Servants of the Gospel and Separating from Subverters, an exposition of Romans chapter 16. The chapter reveals that there were a number of churches in the city of Rome, providing a powerful testimony in the midst of a very pagan society. The Roman believers came from all classes of society, from noblemen to slaves, and yet the churches were characterized by a Christ-like love and unity. Paul takes time to express his gratitude to many who helped him in the gospel ministry. In addition, he reminded the Roman believers to manifest a cheerful and loving attitude toward the brethren at all times. The chapter also contains warnings against those who would subvert the gospel by promoting themselves or by causing divisions within the body of Christ. And Paul's instruction is very clear. we are to avoid them. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, saluting servants of the gospel and separating from subverters.
Paul says if anybody's coming in, and whether it's a new theology or an old heresy, or whether it's simply introducing trouble that runs against the gospel, mark that man for what he is, for he's a subverter of the gospel. He may be a great preacher. He may have fair words. He may have a form of speech that makes him a veritable Demosthenes and give him the golden tongue of a John Chrysostom. But if his message and his whole intention is against the gospel, then mark him for what he is. These people, very generally, verse 18, promote themselves. They're not lovers and servants of Christ at all, but they serve themselves. There's a little idea here of antinomianism. Very often you will find people coming into the church, and the Reformed churches are particularly, should be particularly on their guard against this. Very much so. That there's this constant niggling to try and get in under the banner of Reformed theology a weakened, lessened commitment to the law and to obeying the law of God. Now, Paul argues against letting in the legalists, but he also argues against letting in the antinomians. And he says, mark them, recognize them. When you've recognized somebody as a subverter of the gospel, verse 17, there's only one thing to do, reject them. Avoid them. Turn away from them. Have nothing to do with them. The tense of the verb here, I think, gives the idea of a decisive act of rejection. Reject them. And it's not something that happens accidentally. This is a decisive, deliberate act of rejection. What does that mean? I remember years ago talking to a man, and I was putting pressure on him, an elder of a Presbyterian church in Northern Ireland, to learn the doctrine of separation. He got talking to a Christian of another denomination. He urged the same thing upon him, and he got very, very distraught and wondered, what should I do? And I heard him talking to a much more mature Presbyterian elder, and he said to him, what does this mean? Have no fellowship. Come out from among them. Reject them. Avoid them. What does it mean? The older man said, I don't know what it means, but it doesn't mean what he said it means. I mean, where does it take any particularly wonderful intelligence to understand what the word avoid means? The word reject, the word turn away from. Certainly doesn't mean throw your arms around and say you're welcome. Let's sit down together at Holy Communion. Doesn't mean that. It means reject them decisively. Verse 19, he says, realize your vulnerability. This is a verse that has caused a lot of discussion. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. What's the significance? Be aware of these people, reject them because your obedience has come abroad unto all men. What does that mean? I think the obvious meaning is probably the simplest and the best, and that is that your testimony makes you a certain target. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows the stand you've taken. Everybody knows how you've stood for God and you've been blessed of God. Therefore, be aware the devil's going to be after you. The idea that you're going to take a stand for God and everything's going to go well and there'll never be a ripple upon the placid waters of life and everybody's going to pat us on the back and we're going to be blessed and happy all the day long, that's totally unbiblical, and it is totally improbable. If this church takes a stand for God, it's going to have more enemies the closer it gets to the Lord. The more it seeks to do for God, the more the enmity is going to rise against it. That's what Paul was getting over to these people. You're vulnerable because you are going to be a target. When you have a bunch of people like these that Paul has been mentioning, and you have a live church energetically pursuing the cause of Christ, as this church was doing, then that church has a target on it, and you may be certain that the enemies of the gospel will want to destroy it one way or the other. And the simplest way to destroy a church is insidiously to get into the inside, and from the inside subvert the very message on which that church was based and on which its ministry is founded. Realize how vulnerable you are. Also realize this, and I think he's saying this, that you people have a desire for truth, and sometimes that makes you just a little too trusting. You don't believe everything you hear. You're just a little too trusting. I think there's that insinuation for these people. You've got to be careful, because in your desire for truth, you can open up your arms and you can receive a serpent right into your midst. Be very careful. Let the gospel govern all your reactions to all who come. Realize you're vulnerable, and make sure that you're wise to the good and innocent, that is, without any admixture of any element that's foreign to the gospel as far as evil is concerned. Always remember, he says, verse 20, the real source of the enmity. The enmity of subverters is not human. It is ultimately satanic. And that's why he says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This enmity comes from the devil. Listen, as he says to the Ephesians, we're wrestling. The idea there is hand-to-hand combat. We're in close quarters fighting to the death. Not against flesh and blood. Oh, the devil has flesh and blood emissaries. But we're fighting against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. We are battling the powers of hell, the source of the enmity. Verse 20 also, however, rejoice in the sure and swift defeat of Satan and his hosts. This word shortly, I don't think means immediately. I don't think it necessarily even means soon. I think the idea is that the Lord will, in his time, work, and when he works, he will work swiftly and work mightily and work effectively. Listen, we're on the victory side. This gospel that Paul has been expounding throughout the book of Romans, this gospel cannot fail. This gospel cannot fail to achieve what God has set out for it to achieve. And the church that is dedicated to the preaching of the gospel and the living of the gospel, as chapter 12, 13, 14, 15 have all been emphasizing, the church that's willing to preach the gospel and live the gospel cannot fail to do what the Lord intends it to do. Remember our victory. And in facing it all, verse 20, rest in the power of God's grace to face your foe. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The work that God has called us to is not an easy work. The day in which God has called us is not an easy day. And if I know anything about the teaching of God's word regarding the last days, I believe those days will get darker. The enmity will become more pronounced. The cost will become more demanding. the attacks will become more vicious. And the more human technology progresses, the more it will be, for the most part, subverted to be used for the furtherance of Satan's agenda. If you want to be a Christian today, you're not called to an armchair debate. You're called to contend earnestly for the faith. We have been through Romans, and what a wonderful gospel it presents. This gospel is worth contending for. This gospel is worth standing for. What Paul is saying here is, brethren, stand with those who stand for Christ, but never let us compromise with those who would subvert the gospel. Let us be the true servants of the Savior. Let us never sully His name or our testimony going along with those who are its foes. May God indeed teach us as a church what it is, truly, honestly, genuinely, to salute the servants. Not just the ministers, the preachers, the servants. Salute the servants. But may God give us backbones of steel as we separate ourselves from the subverters of the gospel of His dear Son. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word, we pray. Write it upon our hearts. Lord, make this church after the pattern of the church that we have read. Lord, make this congregation a congregation of people energized by the power of Thy Spirit, gripped by the love of Christ, motivated by our being in Christ. A body of people saved and kept who will be faithful, utterly, completely faithful to Christ and His gospel. O Lord, give us true consecration. Bless our fellowship as a church. Knit hearts and homes together in the love of Christ. O God, melt our hearts today. Forgive us for the coldness and the deadness. Forgive us, O God, for the disinterest. Forgive us, O Lord, for the sin of simply overlooking our brethren. We pray that Thou wilt grant to us the kind of church fellowship of which we have been reading. And, O Lord, take us up. Keep us separated unto the gospel, faithful unto death, as we would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us now, O God, our Father, we pray, and part us with Thy very richest blessing. May the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace be our portion, the love of God fill our hearts, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep us close to Thee and to Thy people. We pray in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.